can quote King James until you bleed. I just sound like other languages.
This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also, from time to time, have other audio content. Things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSAirdrie on Twitter. And at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. This week, we're going to be talking about a very Bible-y sounding word. A word that pastors and theologians will talk about. A word that you know, when you want to sound biblically and scholarly and all of those kind of things, you may pull out just to wow your friends and neighbors and all of those kind of things. But it's not really a word that usually makes it into our day-to-day lexicon. It's not usually a word that makes it into day-to-day conversation, sort of like when you see a doctor or when you go to the hospital. They use all kinds of words that we don't know. And that we don't understand. Big words, long words, words with all kinds of syllables that we don't know. And yet, they are important words. We may not know what they mean. We may not understand when two doctors are having a conversation about us, all the words that they're using. But it's important that they know what those words mean because they are important words. As they speak to us, they are critically important to our health and potentially our life moving forward. And so it is the same with the term that we're going to look at this morning, that we're going to look at this week. Over the last few weeks, as we've been focusing in and looking at the Holy Spirit, we've talked about the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. We've talked about the Holy Spirit as the life giver and our need to and what takes place when we're born again. And last week we talked about the Holy Spirit as our advocate, as someone who's called alongside. That's the definition of the word that Jesus used, is somebody who's called alongside us, who walks through life with us, and who helps us and who guides us and who leads us as we walk through life. And this week, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier. We're going to talk about what it means that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and what that word means. Basically, sanctification would mean the process of making holy. The word literally means to set apart or to make holy. And so when we look at the Holy Spirit as our sanctifier, what that really means is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're made holy. We're brought into fullness, we are set apart, we are made holy, that we would become more like Jesus. That it's the Holy Spirit's work in our lives that helps us and shapes us to become more like Jesus. Some of the most common questions that Christian people have and some of the things that we look to for the Holy Spirit are questions like, what is the will of God for my life? As we walk through life and we come to places that we don't know and we'll say, God, I just need you to show me what your will is for my life. Or God, who is it that I should marry? God, what kind of career should I have? God, should I do this or should I do that? And we look to God for perhaps the specifics of our lives and these kinds of questions about what God wants for us or what God has for us. Or we will look to the Holy Spirit and we will talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. That I was led by the Holy Spirit to go here. I was led by the Holy Spirit to do this. I was led by the Holy Spirit to say this thing. I was led by the Spirit. And this isn't a trivial thing. This isn't a little thing. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit does direct us. It is a miracle from God Himself that we have the opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit. God doesn't have to do that. God chooses to do that. God chooses to be involved in our lives because of His love for us. The Holy Spirit does direct us to lead us to do things, to say things. That was the point of what we talked about last week, was that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us as we go. But sometimes I think we can make a mistake in thinking that that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the only reason the Holy Spirit is here. That's the primary role of the Holy Spirit, is to just simply guide us and lead us in our lives. The problem isn't that the Holy Spirit does those things. That's not a problem. That's not a mistake. That's not an issue. The Holy Spirit does those things, and we are so grateful to our Father in heaven that He did not leave us alone, but that He, just as He promised, sent us another helper. And we are so grateful and we are so glad for that. But that's not the primary thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. That's not the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. Yes, the Holy Spirit leads people to specific places and for specific tasks. But the primary role of the Holy Spirit in our lives isn't just that. In fact, that very question of what is God's will for our lives points us to the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. Scripture will answer very plainly, clearly, and precisely in black and white what the will of God is for your life. You don't have to doubt, you don't have to question, you don't have to interpret. Scripture will say the will of God for your life is, and it will tell us. It's pretty exciting, pretty good deal for today. Come to church, and every single one of us are going to leave knowing exactly what the will of God is for our lives. Exactly what it is. Pretty good deal. You may not have known that's what you were coming for today. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 tells us exactly what the will of God is for our lives. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. The will of God for your life is that you become holy. The will of God for your life is that you become more like Jesus. That's the will of God for your life. All the rest of it is just details. How we do that, who we do with it, where we do it with, it's all secondary to we become more like Jesus. That is the will of God for our lives. And this is what the Holy Spirit's primary role in our life is to work in our lives, His power at work in us that helps us to grow in holiness, helps us to become more like Jesus. When we come to a place in our lives when we accept Jesus and we repent of our sin, we are washed clean and we're justified, and the process of sanctification begins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul will be talking about what life looks like before we come into relationship with Jesus, what the hallmarks of those life will be. And he will talk about how people whose lives are defined by this won't enter into the kingdom of God. That without God, we can't enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verse 11, Paul will write this, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." When we accept Jesus, things changed in our lives. We see our lives transformed, and our lives transformed, our destiny changed, and our desires and our passions changed. But if we go back to John 16, where we've been kind of starting from each week, as we look at the end of the book, towards the end of the book of John, and Jesus is giving a talk to his disciples in the upper room, one of the major themes that he talks about is him sending the Holy Spirit. And so we've been coming back to this place in John chapter 16. And as he was introducing the disciples to this idea of this new helper, the Holy Spirit that God would send when Jesus was gone, Jesus would say about this about the Holy Spirit and his role in guiding us. John chapter 16, verse 13 will say, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth." When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. I should mention before we continue, if you're trying to follow along in your Bible this morning, good luck. We are all over the place. But if you do have a place that you would like to put your finger in, you could go to Galatians chapter 5. Ultimately, that's where we're going to end up. But for the first little bit, you're going to be like, oh, another. So you can follow along on the screen. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5 is maybe a good place to start. But as Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit and all that will be done when he comes, one of the things that he says he's going to do is that he's going to guide us in all truth. He'll shine a light on our lives and show us the things in our lives that are true. And the flip side of that is he'll show us the things in our lives that are false, which are good and right, and what it is that needs to change. And then through the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our advocate and life giver, help us to change those things. As irrelevant, perhaps, and unused as the word sanctification may be, or sanctifier may be in our vocabulary, just like those words that doctors used, the reality is that it's very crucial, very contemporary, and very relevant in our lives that the Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. Suppose you've always filed your taxes. And you've hidden sources of income because then you'd have to pay more taxes. And you've kept things a secret. Then you've come to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And suddenly you feel compelled to tell the truth on your taxes. That's sanctification. Suppose you're always on your spouse's case for everything. Then the word of the Lord comes along and pricks your conscience. And you begin to criticize less and preach less, and you look for more ways to show love and respect. That's sanctification. Suppose you are someone who always looks and sees what others have that you don't, and it just never sits well with you. And then one day, the Holy Spirit shows you that in God you have everything you need. And being jealous of the life that others have just robs you of the life that God has for you. And you begin to become comfortable in your own skin. And you begin to look less at what others have, and you begin to look more at what you have in your own life. That's sanctification. When our hearts are changed and we become more like Jesus, our lives become more like the lives God wants for us. That's sanctification. In his letter to Titus, Paul will say that before we came into a saving relationship with Jesus, we were a people whose lives were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. But then Paul will talk about this changing that takes place. This transformation that takes place in your life. He'll say, this is who you are, and this is what you are. But then he will write this about the changing that takes place in verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, eternal life. The Holy Spirit washes us, regenerates us, and renews us. And as he works on us, we discover that we are changed. That as he does these things, we discover that our hearts are changed and that our lives are different. And as when we accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit begins to work on us, we go from a people who are decidedly not holy. We are verse 3. We are hated and we hate and we are envious. We are all of these bad things. And the Holy Spirit takes these foolish, disobedient, hateful lives and changes them. And instead of being unholy, evil people, we get verse 7 of Titus chapter 3. And this now becomes who we are. This now becomes our new identity. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. that we go from being evil people to heirs of the kingdom of God, to being adopted into sonship, into family of God because of Jesus' work, because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. That's sanctification. If we look at Romans chapter 15, we can see a physical picture of what we're talking about when we talk about sanctification. We can take it at least a little bit out of the theoretical, out of this sort of, you can find it in your own story, and it, Paul will talk, and it will bring it down into a more clear picture of what he's talking about. Romans chapter 15, verse 15, Paul will write this: "But on some points I've written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Paul will say that the main focus of the ministry, the main job that God has given him, was to see the sanctification of the Gentiles. He says that he sees himself as a priest or a minister, a pastor to the Gentiles. And he wants to see this people group that had previously had no right to God's kingdom, previously had no road in, previously had no entry point. They were barred from the kingdom of God. And that they would be made holy, that they would be sanctified, allowed in. They would be made holy by the Holy Spirit. He isn't just aiming to have people say a prayer. He isn't just aiming to make a convert. He isn't just, but he is looking for these people to be changed and to be made holy by the Holy Spirit in their lives. And this is significant because the Gentiles were not a part of the old covenant. There was no pathway made for them to come into the covenant. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, who they were is changed. And now they are welcomed into the new covenant. They are able to find a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is significant for us because, first, because probably the majority of us are all Gentiles. So on a very basic level, this is very applicable to us. And second, because we all have the same destiny, whether we're Gentiles or not, that Paul was preaching to the people in Rome. There was no way for us in. You and I were on the outside of a relationship with God. But through the death of Jesus Christ, and then the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, Paul will say that we are made acceptable in the Lord's sight. In verse 18, Paul will write more about this. "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed." So the aim of Paul's missionary work, or to put it more to the point, the aim of what God is doing or God is working to do through Paul was to bring the Gentiles, was the sanctification of the Gentiles. And Paul will say here, to bring the Gentiles to obedience, to help them live the life God has for them, to live the life God has called them to. So if we take the two things that Paul says here about what he's doing, in verse 16, Paul will say, "I'm working to bring the Gentiles to sanctification through the Holy Spirit." In verse 18, he will say, "I'm working to bring them to obedience." When we connect these two things, we see that sanctification means obedience to God. That the ultimate goal of our salvation is that we should, in whatever time we have, be growing to be more like Jesus. That's what sanctification means. It's not just an action. It's deeper. It's a deeper change than the things that we do. It wouldn't be that we wouldn't just do those things anymore, but that our heart, the place where those things overflowed from, our heart, the place where those things came from, would be changed. And our heart would become more like Jesus. And the overflow of our hearts that are becoming more and more like Christ would be lives that become more and more like Christ. in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, I told you it would be all over the place. Paul, we'll talk about this when he says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. It's an issue of the heart. Sanctification is not just changing our lives, but it's changing our hearts. And when our hearts are changed, then our lives change as well. In Galatians chapter 5, finally, you can follow along with me. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul will write about what it means when the Holy Spirit changes our heart. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and then on. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't just get rid of our desire to sin. Sanctification isn't just somehow all of the desires and things that they just evaporate and all of a sudden they're gone. But what it is that he shines a light on a different path. He gives us another way that we can go, a new path. And when we walk in the Spirit, we're no longer a slave to sin. We no longer have the desires that we once did, and God's Spirit works to shape us into the new people that God has for us. If we jump down a couple of verses, Paul will draw a very clear distinction between life in the Spirit and life in the flesh. When Paul will write this in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This is the starting point on the map of sanctification. This is where we all start. This is where we all begin. Maybe hopefully not all of those things, but there is something where this is the whole, a life of sin is where we'll start. That's the beginning point on the roadmap. And then as the Holy Spirit comes and begins to work on our lives, hopefully we see some of those things start to fall by the wayside. As we fix our eyes on Jesus and we look to become more like him, we discover that this new path and this new life that he has doesn't include some of these things. And then doesn't include more of these things. And at some point we come and realize, hey, all of those things that my life used to be about aren't there anymore. And then in verse 22, he will show us the other side. That as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, as the Holy Spirit changes us, this is what our life becomes about. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We see all of these things that are wrong about our lives, all of these things that sin causes to be there, and they begin to fall away. And what begins to grow in their place is love, and patience, and self-control, and kindness. And we see the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of this life that we have with God, beginning to grow and develop in our lives. And suddenly, instead of all of those other things, we have all of these new things. All of these new places, all of these new fruit that's showing in our lives. Our lives become different. They are changed from this one thing, this evil, decrepit life with only death to come. But when Jesus died on the cross for us, it provided an opportunity for another destiny. But just like we said before about Paul and his ministry to the Romans, God isn't just aiming to have these people say a prayer, to just have people become statistical converts. But when he will give us the Great Commission, he will tell us to teach them the things that we've been commanded, to show them how to live this out, not just get them to pray a prayer, but to come alongside and help them discover what a new life in God looks like. and through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, after we accept Jesus and his love for us and his penalty, or our penalty that was paid by him on the cross, the Holy Spirit gives us a new way of life. True life, new life. That's sanctification. Sanctification is a tough process. Dealing with our sin will never be easy. And it's usually not very fun. But it's a process full of the work of our merciful God. And in the end, it always results in rejoicing. It's a tough road to walk, but at the end of that road are incredible benefits, incredible blessings that we can't imagine. If you desire holiness, righteousness, and godliness, seek out your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and your mind to his work. Allow him to reveal to you the dark places of your heart that you have yet to know or have yet to be touched by the capable, loving hands of a God who forms you and knows you. Allow him to heal the wounds of brokenness that have tied you to the world, which you've been set free from through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is ours by God's grace and mercy. Spend time in prayer, allowing God to deal with your sin and lead you to a life of rejoicing and joy where only sin and sorrow dwelled before. Ask him to reveal areas in your life that are keeping you from a life of holiness and godliness. David will say, "Search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me." Ask him to show you past wounds that are still hurting you today. Confess your sin and receive forgiveness. He will say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. It doesn't say he might forgive you. It doesn't say if everything breaks your way, he will forgive you. It doesn't say if you were good enough and the sin isn't big enough, he'll forgive you. It says he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. When we confess our sins, we know and we can believe we have forgiveness. Ask him to show you where he was at times when you were wounded. Ask him to reveal to you the truth that has the power to cover the damaging lies that the enemy has spoken to you. And as God removes all of these areas and the Holy Spirit changes your heart, you will live your life healed, set free, and delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you walk this out, you will experience the joy and the freedom that comes from receiving God's forgiveness and healing. When God gives when we give our sins over to him and receive forgiveness, the chains that entangled us to the cares of this world are shattered. Our portion in God is love, peace, and joy. Jesus died to set us free from the burden of sin. May you be a child marked by the holiness of your heavenly Father that is available in the Holy Spirit who dwells within you.
You hovered over the waters.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, @CSAirdrie on Twitter and @CornerstoneAirdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Your voice like many waters brings peace to my soul. The God of glory thunders.
Desire is to be with you.